Amen. One of my favorite songs. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. And it really will. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, if you would, in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll get right into the message tonight. It was such a blessing to see that crowd this morning, wasn't it? And some of you who were in children's church or nursery, if you didn't hear, we had 210 in Sunday school this morning. I thought it was 216, but we added six. But anyway, 210 in Sunday school and 276 in church. And that's just amazing. Broke all of our previous attendance records. And so if you would, just keep on working. Keep on bringing people in. Amen. We'll find places to put them. I will be ordering chairs this week. Amen. And some psalm books. Some of these kids need some psalm books. I'm going to give one to Logan. He'd be the first one to get one. Amen. All right. I'm going to try to embarrass him some more. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, familiar passage in verse 16, but look at verse 15. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." I want to speak to you tonight just very quickly about the new year, school year started. And as the school year starts, I know my family has been lax over the summer and some of the things we should be doing. And just want to encourage you tonight to get back in your routine, and especially in the area of family devotions and these type of things. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love. We pray, Lord, that we would use our time wisely. And God, you would just give us guidance and leadership in the area of our lives and how to do that wisely. We pray tonight for the activities to follow that you bless, and the fellowship and the fun. In Jesus' name, amen. It has been said that we have all the time in the world. I used to hate it when my professor said that. You have all the time in the world. No excuse for not getting work done. You have all the time in the world. Time, this is the measured period of time in which an action, process, or condition exists or continues. We need to learn to use our time to glorify Jesus Christ. The Bible says, do all things to the glory of God. Again, I don't think that God is concerned about a football game or even a baseball game. He's not concerned about a soccer game, even though I know some in here would say different. But he is concerned about how we play those games and that we do those things in a Christian manner to glorify him. It matters how everything that we do, whether we're working in our jobs or working out there in the real world, that we do everything in the glory of God. We give it our best because we want to honor and glorify God in all that we do. Amen? Everything that we do. We need to honor and glorify God with our time. Time is so precious that God gives it to us only a second at a time. Again, as we look back, especially now, I can look back now and see my children growing and seeing how fast they grow up. And all of a sudden, I'm within just a few months of having one child with a driver's permit. I just can't believe that. And I'm going to have two at the same time. And so y'all pray for me. Amen. I need much prayer. Two boys, too. I don't know. Anyway, make it even that much worse. But it's amazing. You start buying tennis shoes for these kids, and all of a sudden they went from a size 7 to a size 12, and you're like, what happened? You know, what happened? Time goes by so fast. My dad turned 60 just a few months ago. And to me, that was just, I just can't believe my dad is 60 years old. And no comments, right? Oh, there'd be an insurrection in here, wouldn't there? But amazing how time flies. Time is a universal gift given to everybody in equal amounts. 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks in a year. Managing our time properly takes a knowledge of priorities. By the way, not earthly priorities, divine priorities. Managing our time is not based upon what the world or the 7 steps to successful, whatever it is, but it's managing our time by the Word of God. Just a minute. Remember, Dr. Barber used to quote this poem all the time. It says, "I have only just a minute, just 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it." We must understand that God has given us time, and we must use it wisely. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. A believer, number one, must have time for God. Must have time for God. Having time for God is not an option. It should be our first priority. Matthew chapter 22, that I've quoted many times. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And you see it repeated in the Old and the New Testament that we're to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all of our strength. We're to put Him first place. The Bible, David talked about, as the deer panteth after the water brook. He said, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. David had a longing and a want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know God in a great way. We must put our priorities in perspective, and our priorities in perspective and using our time should be that we make time for God. This is always a tough one here. Ready for this one? We must have time for the Lord. It is essential to our spiritual growth. If you want to grow spiritually, you're going to have to make time for God. You're going to have to make time for Him. If you're going to mature as a Christian, you've got to make time for personal Bible study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We must understand tonight, we must spend time in the Word of God. We must study the Word of God. Amen? None of y'all have heard this before, have you? It's all new stuff. I would encourage you. I want to implore you, beseech you, beg you. Take some time for the Lord. We must have time in studying the Scripture. We must have time in private prayer time. Matthew chapter 6. I'll turn over there quickly. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which is in secret, shall reward thee openly. I tell you what, the great things can be done in your prayer closet. We've been preaching on prayer for the last four Wednesday nights, and it's vital to our Christian lives. I want to encourage you, again, if you've let it slack over the summer, that you take time and begin that prayer time again, that private prayer time, that private devotional prayer time, and to get in your closet and pray before the Lord. Listen, this is a day and time which we should be praying without ceasing, Paul said. And the way things are going, the days are evil. We need to redeem the time. We need to be praying on a consistent basis. We need to be praying for each other. We need to be praying for those who are sick and out. We need to be praying for those who are going through such tragedies and many other things going on. We need to pray for our country. Pray for our country. Pray for our president. Pray for your church and your pastor. Pray. Take time to pray. Take time for personal prayer time. I again encourage you to put together a prayer list of people who are lost. And when you pray for them individually. Pray for them by name. And I tell you, it'll make a huge difference. Be an intercessor in your prayer time. As we think of private devotion, we think of quiet meditation. I had somebody tell me this week that they meditate. And my answer is to them, I meditate too. I meditate upon the Word of God. Meditate upon the Word of God. Joshua chapter 1 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to those things written therein. Listen, we need to meditate upon the Word of God. It's one thing to read it. It's another thing to meditate upon it. It's one thing to read your three chapters that morning and then a few hours later not be able to remember anything that you just read. And I think it's very important that you spend not necessarily quantity time, but quality time in the Bible. That you take time to read it and chew on it, like a cow chews on the cud, right? We won't describe all that, right? Everybody here knows cows have four stomachs. Yeah? And they re-chew their food. Teenagers, they re-chew it. Isn't that gross? By the way, you eat those, right? You eat them? Basically, they eat their own. It's nasty, isn't it? Okay. Man, I could go a lot further with that when I wanted to real bad. I made up a song when I was a kid. It's called Hey, but my wife would stop me from singing it to you, so I won't sing it lest I get in a bad spot. I made up a lot of songs when I was a kid. What's sad is I can remember them. You take the Word of God and chew upon it. think about it as you're reading it. Meditate upon it. The Bible says that the man who has will have good success who meditates upon the Word of God. But the Bible says in Psalm 1, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate what? Day and night. Day and night. And you see that pattern over and over in the Old and New Testament. Those who would take time for the Bible and for prayer and time of study, day, in the morning, and at night. And again, we must make time for the Lord. Private time is practical time, and you must put together a schedule and make time for prayer, Bible reading, and meditating upon the Word of God. Again, we must make time for God, not only in our private worship time, but also in public worship. And I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but it is essential to the Christian life and for spiritual growth to attend a good Bible preaching, fundamental church. Amen? And I think a Baptist church. Amen? Amen? Everybody with me? Amen. I tell you what, it goes hand in hand with your private worship time. When you come to church and simply hear the Word of God preached and taught by a Sunday school teacher and the preacher, and it backs up what you're studying at the house and what you're how you're dealing with your kids and studying with your kids. When you've prepared yourself all week long, you'll be ready to worship Christ on Sunday. This is very important. I've pushed this a lot. Understand that if you come here on Sunday morning, I'm talking about church members now, as a church member, if you come every Sunday morning only to receive something, you're missing the boat. Now, I understand there's some Sundays you're going to come here and you're going to need to get something. Amen? I've been there a time or two myself. But on the average, or for the majority of time, you should come to church having already spent time in prayer that week, having already had your private worship time, and you're coming not expecting to receive something, but you're coming expecting to give something. You say, well, how do I do that? You come to church, you sit down in your chair, and you begin to pray for other people in the auditorium. You begin to think about other people who need the Lord, or whatever the case is. You sing with a joyful heart instead of a sad heart. Amen? Amen. You come to church prepared to worship, not come to church exhausted spiritually. Amen. Listen, I do not believe the church was set up merely to prop you up every Sunday. I mean it. I don't think the church was set up to merely bring membership in and prop them up emotionally and relationally and whatever else, prop them up every Sunday. Now, some Sundays I need to be propped up. I understand that. But the majority of the time, I should come through those doors not needing propped up, but ready to prop up somebody else. Amen? I promise you, and we've preached on this many times, if that's the case, if the majority of our members would walk into the auditorium having already spent time with the Lord and having already had that personal walk with Him during the week, it would make a huge spiritual difference in the auditorium on a Sunday morning. It would allow the Holy Spirit to make Himself evident. It would allow the Holy Spirit movement in the auditorium. I believe it. I believe it. That is the greatest thing lacking, besides the preacher as well, him having his life right, is that, again, church members come in with all their issues instead of coming in having been on top as far as they are in their spiritual walk. Ready to go. I mean ready to go. Amen? Amen. Be ready to go on Sunday morning. Everything we do during the week leads up to Sunday. By the way, Sunday's the first day of the week. It's not the weekend. Amen. It's the first day of the week. Friday and Saturday, the weekend. I come on Sunday morning. That's how I start my week. It's a good way to start it. Amen. Spending time with the Lord. We must take time for the Lord. We must take time. Don't get so busy. Don't get so busy, don't get so cumbered that you lay aside the worshiping of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must never neglect the private and public worship of our Lord. You think about Mary and Martha. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, and Martha was cumbered about much business. We must be careful we don't get caught up in the work that we lose sight of worshiping Him. Amen? A believer must take time for the Lord. Number two, we won't spend much time here because I don't want to just beat a dead horse. I even thought about that before I said it. A believer must take time for the family. A believer must take time for the family. Thank you, Brother Stone. Love is spelt, class, T-I-M-E. Love is spelt T-I-M-E. Brother Carroll in our Sunday school clinic yesterday said something, and my wife asked me if I agreed. She said, is it better to spend, he said, it was just as good to spend quantity time as it was quality time with your kids. You've heard preachers or other people say, oh, you ought to spend quality time with your kids, not necessarily quantity. That's not true. I'm not saying they keep up with it, the little chart in their room, but they just about do in their head. Better spend some, not only quality time, but quantity time with your kids. Amen. Spend that time with your family. Take time for your family. Again, we're spelling out the priorities of redeeming the time. God is the first priority in our life. Amen. And the things of God, whether it be that private time of worship and spending time with Him, the public time of worship, Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but we should meet together more as we see the day approaching. We shouldn't have less services, we should have more services. Amen? And we shouldn't avoid, we shouldn't bypass, we shouldn't set aside coming to church. But also we must understand, secondly, in our priority list, that family is so vitally important to the Lord. And spending time with our family, making time for the family. The husband has to take time for his wife. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:33, but he that is married must see how he can please his wife. Amen. Husbands are supposed to please their wives. All right, I'll go on. The wife, according to Titus, must take time for her husband. And we can go on. The parents must take time for their children. The Bible says that we are to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word nurture means to discipline. We need to be consistent in disciplining our children that they don't grow up to be hoodlums. Amen. Amen. Christian children ought to be different than the world out there. And I tell you, my brother has 9 children. And we laugh about it. But I think it's awesome. The Bible says children are a heritage of the Lord. I had somebody tell me this week, he said, why would an educated person have 9 children? I said, why not? The Bible says children are a heritage of the Lord. In fact, the Bible says, happy is the man that what? Has his quiver full. Amen. And so, but my brother gets compliments all the time when he goes into restaurants and things from other people who walk up and say, how in the world do you get all those kids to behave? I mean, there'll be another family in there with one kid who can't tame the one kid. My brother's got 9 and all of them are tame. That's a good word I'd use there. Why? Because my brother's consistent in his discipline. He's consistent in it. Those children know that he loves them and he spends time with them and he disciplines them and they behave. And we need to take time to grow, to train up our children again, the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to discipline them. That word admonition means teaching. It is not the church's primary responsibility to teach your children. You are primarily responsible. Amen. Husbands, you're the primary responsible one in the family to teach your kids the Word of God. When's the last time you took the Word of God and taught your children something from the Bible? Amen. When's the last time, husband, you took the Bible and read to your children and taught them out of the Word of God? You say, well, I don't know. I don't know anything in there. Well, just take the Bible and read it. Even if you don't comment on it, just read it. Believe me, it'll comment on itself. Amen? Take the time to raise your children, to discipline them and teach them. Again, the true responsibility of every parent is to train, to discipline and train, teach their children. Children have time, must make time for their parents to obey and respect them. Listen, children, teenagers, you don't have the option whether to obey or respect your parents. It's a must, biblically. You don't have the option to talk back to your parents. There's not an option. I want to hear amen from the youth. That's pretty weak. Everybody else don't say amen. Amen from the youth. Let's hear it. Thank you. Children must take time to obey their parents and respect them. The family must take time for the Lord. I want to take just a little time here. Deuteronomy, and this familiar passage, we've read it many times. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We must take time to teach our children. We must have a family altar. I had somebody ask me one time, preacher, you always talk about the family altar. What is a family altar? Do I put an altar up in my home? And no, that's not a family altar. A family altar simply means when mom and dad sit down with the kids, whether it's in the morning or the evening, maybe both, and reads the Word of God to them and prays together. That's a family altar. And just let me tell you, this is an area which our family has really slacked this summer, and we're going to get back to it and being more consistent during the school year. I'm telling you today, I am here because my dad practiced what he preached. My dad was a deacon and everything else, and then finally became a lay preacher, and then became a Bible vocational preacher. He pastored and worked a full-time job. My dad, when he got in the pulpit, whatever he preached, he backed up at the house. I've told you this 100 times, and I've never heard my dad say a cuss word. Not even those small ones, or what we consider small ones. Never heard him say the H word, the D word, and I mean nothing. Ever. My dad got up every morning, during the school year especially. Sometimes during the summer he'd slack up. But during the school year, he'd get up every morning before school and cook a big breakfast for us. Homemade pancakes, homemade biscuits and gravy, oatmeal with peanut butter in it. If you've never had oatmeal with peanut butter in it, you've got to try that. My dad make homemade biscuits, that sausage gravy. Oh, man, so good. Malto meal, cream of wheat, bacon and eggs. I mean, every morning it was something. During the school year, I'm talking about during the school week. Now, Saturday it was every man for himself. But Sunday morning he always made homemade pancakes, always, with peanut butter on them. See a trend, don't you? But Monday through Friday, during the school year, especially during the school semester, my dad would cook us breakfast, and then after we were through eating, we would pray and bless the meal. We did it afterwards, actually, after we ate. Can you believe that? Yeah, because nobody got to the table at the same time, so everybody just started eating. Then after the meal, we'd pray and bless the food. Then Dad would read from the Daily Bread, which was a little devotional book. By the way, I wouldn't recommend it. It's not King James anymore. It's crazy. But we have the Days and Praise back there. Same type scenario. You take that little devotional book and you just read it. Take the scripture and read the particular scripture. And then each family member would pray. I mean, my dad was very consistent. Probably from the time I was 12 years old and up, he was very consistent in doing that. If he hadn't have been, I probably wouldn't be what I am. I mean, you know, I'm not saying I'm anything, but because my dad was consistent. I love him for that. I love him that he was very consistent in his discipline, but he was very consistent in his training as well and took time to teach us the Word of God. By the way, his dad never did that. He wasn't raised in that kind of home. He was raised in a so-called Christian home, and my papa was a good Christian man. But that's something my dad started. You say, well, my parents never did that. Well, just because they never did doesn't mean you can't do it. You can do it. We must have a family altar. We must attend church together. Choose this day whom you will serve, Joshua said. We must choose in this day and age whom we will serve. Listen, there are many things out there that pulls us in many different directions. Some of you have to go to practice before school. I remember we had to get on the bus every school day. We had to get on the bus about 7 o'clock. My dad got us up at 6 o'clock every morning during the school year so we'd have time to have devotions. And then we would have about 45 minutes before the bus got there. But my dad went to work early, so he got us up early. So we were, you know, a lot of times had to make our beds and do other things. We came home and our beds weren't done. It was the Board of Education applied to the seat of understanding. Amen. And so it's not necessarily that you you have time. You have to make time. You have to make time. Maybe it is in the evening. Maybe your kids get up too early. Whatever the case is, you have to make that time. And you got to make time for church. I'm telling you, there's so many things pulling people from church services today. I'm telling you, there is no excuse for missing a church service. No excuse, unless you're sick or go at work. Any other excuse is not an excuse. If you miss church for any other reason, you're teaching your children that something is more important than God. Amen. Church, the family, worshiping God, spending time with Him, you've got to make time to do it. Listen, we should never make decisions based upon how we feel, but base our decisions upon the Word of God. Last, the believer must have time for others. We must make time for others. I don't know how many times I have driven by somebody or walked by somebody who was in need and got about 2 miles down the road and said, oh man, I should have done something, you know, or whatever the case is. But we must take time to be considerate to others. Amen. Consider others. Consider, the word is empathize. We must put ourselves in their position. I think of Mark and Ashley with the little baby in the hospital, what that must feel like. I've been there. I've had a little child in the hospital. And spending the time in intensive care and all those things that go on. And we must learn to empathize and put ourselves in their position and consider them and pray for them. Think about Brother Jack Brown back here that's having such a hard time and going through the treatments. And pray for them and spend time with them and take that time to consider others. How do we do that? By serving others. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. We must take time for others. And then lastly, by comforting others. By comforting others. A little note wouldn't hurt at all. And I've tried to do better at this. Somebody who is going through a tough time, to send them an email or send them a text message or Twitter. I don't know. I don't know what Twitter is, but I hear it's some kind of something. You know, Facebook them or something, you know. But take time to empathize and consider others and what they're doing and what they're going through and write them a little note. Amen? Take time. This is an area all of us can improve in. I've tried over the years, especially here in the last couple of years, on Mondays to make a list of people that I would like to write a note to. And that always helped kind of just sit down and say, okay, there's 3 or 4 people this week I'm going to text and not just text, you know, just to text them, but text them and say I'm praying for them or I'm thinking about them or whatever the case is. Amen? By the way, they don't know unless you tell them. I tell you what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is whenever you text me and say, preacher, that was good, or I'm praying for you, or whatever. It feels good to me. Well, I know if it feels good to me, it'll feel good to others. Amen? But listen, that's not going to happen, you know, by accident. The pen's just not going to, you know, jump up in your hand with a little thank you note. It's not going to happen. You've got to take that time. By the way, it'd be good to teach our children that as well. This is one area me and my wife have discussed several times. You know, teaching our children to be thankful and writing notes and to others who give them things. Take the time to be considerate of others. Take the time to be considerate of others. Take the time to be considerate of their feelings. Take the time to serve others who are in need. We must, again, manage our time wisely. We must take time for God, take time for our family, and take time for others. You'll never find time for anything. You must make time for it. Amen? Prioritize your life as school starts again. Again, summer is tough. And we were just having that discussion this morning. The nursery kids are trying to get out of the nursery. Everybody watch out. We must make time for those things that are most important. We must take time for God. Take time for our families. Take time for others. If you have any time to kill, work it to death. Good stuff. Use your time wisely. The man who was responsible, him and his brother, for starting the Methodist movement. His name was John Wesley. And John Wesley lived to be 80-something years old, almost 90, I believe. At 85, I have the little note that he wrote. At the age of 85, he wrote a note to a friend. He said to his friend, he said, I am under such, something to this effect, this is not verbatim, but something to this effect. He said, I am under conviction, and I feel so bad that at the age of 85, that I can only work 15 hours a day for the Lord. 15 hours a day for the Lord at 85. That's something, isn't it? Man, let's do something for the Lord. I said, preacher, I'm already doing it. Great. But all of us could do a little better. Take time. If you've slacked up on your Bible reading, I encourage you to get back to it. If you've slacked on your prayer time, get back to it. If you slacked on your devotional time, mom and dads, with your children. Get back to it. Let's keep our priorities straight. Let's redeem the time. Let's use our time wisely because the days are evil. We live in a wicked day. Terrible day. We need to keep our children and our Lord close to us. Amen. Let's